This is Near Enough to Hell, a Ghost of El Paso story, part 12. We are down Daniel this week, so Arkansas McGee is otherwise preoccupied. But that's all right, because Marshall Harrington has some affairs to look after in El Paso, and Graves and Mother Roof have affairs of their own over in Clear Springs. Let's take a look at the current state of our hunters. Marshall Harrington, clean slate. New move, though. The Graves has the Hangman Nose and Death Touch, and Mother Ruth Calvo, most beloved, pious, and shaken. So, we're going to pick up right where we left off. Inside the Black Confessional in the Socorro Mission, where Graves had previously entered with the door shut, the figure entered the other side, and the familiar voice of their sibling War spoke to them, saying, "Hello, sibling. Long time."
"What are you doing here?"
"I could just as easily ask you the same question. Why are you still here? This body you're in. Unbecoming. Why not just kill it and be done with this brief visit?"
"I'm not sure I'm supposed to yet."
"To be fair, sibling, I'm not really here. Not in the same way as you, I assume. Just figured I'd drop by, given the curious state of your existence at the moment. How fares life on Earth?"
"Vivid and short."
"I can imagine. And how are the dead getting by with you so distracted and concerned with this mortal shell?"
"Don't you have a conflict to stoke, sibling?"
"There are always conflicts brewing in the hearts of these men. I was not too far from here this past season. I moved my hand to put the bullet in the man who called himself Billy the Kid."
"I remember that one. He didn't go easy."
"Easier than most. But that does leave a great margin. The blood that has been shed in this American West reminds you of the old days, doesn't it? Such sacred culling, all in the name of our greater purpose."
"It would if they would actually leave. Every dead here lingers. I don't know what's wrong. I don't often seek your counsel, sibling. But tell me, do you know what's wrong here in El Paso?"
There's a long moment of silence from the other side of the confessional, the lattice work screen that separates the two of you. You can only make out the faint glimpse of red on the shadowy figure who sits on the other side, the creak of the confessional bench slightly as he shifts his stance. And a long moment passes before he says, "Can't say that I rightly do. But just one of many mysteries that we still have. Seems like it was always this way. And to be honest,
I thought it was your doing, sibling. Though I would ask, why a train?
I have no train.
Curious.
Are you just here to check in on me, sibling? Or do you have other purposes here?
Is that so hard to believe that I would stop by to check in on your curious state? I must have some other sort of agenda on hand. Last I checked, sibling, I never lift the hand that holds the sword.
This is true. I suppose this is an unusual case.
Indeed. Not that I hold the sword, as it were, anymore. Oh. Left that to others who are now gone.
Do you prefer a rifle now?
I prefer no armament. In truth, when I'm not whittling away my consciousness in Udderbar, I find myself wandering and looking into the hearts of people who need very little stoking these days. Conflict is so much easier to brew now than ever.
This is true. Do you know? Do you know how this happened? This. And they gesture to themselves like as if war can see them through the grate, but assumes that their sibling just sort of knows.
There's another pause, another creak of the wooden bench. And he never answers your question directly. He just simply responds after a moment.
Can't you feel it in the air, sibling? The Lightbringer is around these parts. Have you sensed him? All this time, all that bloodshed, and he remains more or less intact after all this time.
I thought I might have been imagining it. And I think at this point, Graves reaches for the door and tries to open it.
It opens.
And steps out and tries to open the one that War is sitting in.
It was already open.
Fabulous.
And it's empty.
Of course it is. Son of a bitch.
And somewhere in the distance, thunder rolls across the sky. Let's go check in with Marshall Harrington in El Paso. So, what affairs are you getting up to now, Andrew? Arkansas had that whole conversation with you in Graves' house, where you'd been poking around for most of this afternoon. So what are you doing next?
Well, I imagine that Arkansas has, like, other things to do, like, sort of investigates, about in town and whatnot, and I'm just like just thinking that Arkansas's reputation needs to be improved. However, I need to borrow a set of his clothes, so I'm going to Arkansas's room in the brothel, I believe.
Mm-hmm. At the Blue Tin Roof, yeah.
Yeah. To see if like he has any spare clothes and whatnot.
Arkansas McGee strikes me as someone who has a spare set of clothes. He is a man who has one extra set of clothes, if that. I truly think you're going to be hard-pressed to find anything, but it is enough to work with.
Better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go to the Red Rock Cantina. But not before I trigger my move, The Devil You Know, to make myself look like Arkansas.
Would you care to read that move out loud again?
You Your compatriots have unsettling secrets, but you have your own, and you may just reveal your own. You're only kind of human. Your form is permutable to of your choosing. Who is Andrew Harrington? Anyone he chooses to be. When you take on the identity of someone else to fool others, roll with sensitivity. On a hit, you both choose one benefit from the list below. On a 10 plus, your charm knows no bounds. They cannot harm you until you do something to push them away.
Fascinating. You can go ahead and roll with sensitivity. No condition, so flat.
Have anything in my personal quarters? No. Oh, didn't need advantage anyways. That is 12.
Incredible. So you get to choose a benefit, and they mm-hmm. cannot act to harm you mm-hmm. at all. So what benefit are you choosing?
I think I'm going to find a clue. I think I'll hold off on asking this right away for another committee member.
Gotcha. You're going to head over to the Red Rock Cantina. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, later afternoon, and you're in the form of Arkansas McGee. How does your shifting manifest, by the way? Like, what does that look like?
It's only physical, so that's why I need to get some clothes, because mm-hmm. frankly, like, I imagine, like, even though, like, this was put away somewhat where these clothes aren't exactly clean by any stretch of the imagination, because Arkansas has declared last session that he really doesn't bathe at all.
No.
Whereas if I showed up in my regular clothes, it would be clear that something's off about Arkansas. So the face sort of switches and contorts into Arkansas's, sort of like there is this bristly beard, sort of white frizzy hair. Andrew is trying to do his best impression of what he thinks Arkansas looks like, and he's going in here to go to effectively apologize to the owners for disrupting, getting into a fist fight, and just causing all sorts of trouble.
When you show up at the Red Rock Cantina, you can already tell that on the outskirts there's something amiss. There's a bit of a stir. The bouncer, Frank Bradford, whom the locals call Stretch, he's usually guarding the dance hall, but he's standing outside the cantina, and some people are standing outside. Not a mob, not people demanding answers, but there seems to be a great deal of distress and confusion. What do you do? Because he seems that it's like blocking off entrance to the mm-hmm. to the cantina part.
Yo, Stretch, what is going on here? Seems like there's some sort of commotion.
I was not ready for the chaotic Daniel Qualls impression, and this is great. Just totally caught me off guard. Love it. Let me just read your move again real quick, because I'm just making sure I get it. Yeah, your charm knows no bounds. yeah, Stretch, he's a surprisingly willowy man. He has long hair, currently just tied back. As a gentleman, pretty as a girl, but he can be mean as hell. He just looks at you and says, "Go away, McGee. None of your business here. Just trouble inside. Just there's been an accident. The owner's attending to it. Place is closed for the time being. Just don't want anyone else getting hurt."
Oh. Actually, I have to speak with the owners. I came to apologize for my untoward behavior the other day.
You can see that actually, like, as he like tipped his head, the light of the afternoon catches that there are clearly like the tracks of like dried tears down his cheeks. He just says, "Look, I appreciate you coming by to make amends, but you gotta go, Arkansas. This is It's not a good time.
Listen.
His eyes are like flicking to like the others because clearly he doesn't want the people milling around to like know more than just like that there was some kind of accident.
I can help out just an additional set of hands here. Because like you throw at me at any problem, I'm just gonna always bounce back. Sort of like a cockroach in that way.
Let's have this be the day move, plus your presence. What are you afraid of happening here?
I'm afraid that just because, like I think he's just going to be afraid that I'm going to reveal something because I'll get too excited about it because, again, Arkansas is one to do that.
Yeah, that makes sense. You can roll.
That is a 13.
Holy shit. All right. Your benefit will be an extra clue that I'm going to have Stretch give you. Let me take a look at my list before I narrate what happens.
What do you think on that? I think I'm going to frame it up the way I got from my extra clue from my last move. I think Andrew Harrington is going to probably not the best way like to say like try to give like out like a moral story about like just like helping out like a previous time he was helping out to like that it turned out to be actually ghosts. However, he's not afraid of anything, both the living and the dead. So, like, I would ask this of Graves. What clue does Stretch reveal in addition to the clue that Alex is going to give me?
That I think I assume, now Alex, correct me if I'm wrong, that someone has died. And whoever died, somebody caught a glimpse of them walking around the back, like just for a second. It might have even been Stretch after their death. Like that there was a glimpse of a ghost of somebody who had died by the corset's hands.
Or one of the victims. Gotcha.
One of the victims. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Here's the clue that he's going to give you. I'm actually going to incorporate it into the scene, is that he swallows a pretty harsh lump in his throat and just nods his head as like, go around the back. Just for you to, basically he's giving you permission to go inside, but he's not going to tell you anything. But what he does do is, reach over and like, you know, place something in your hand discreetly, just kind of like, you know, pulled out of his pocket and place it in your hand before telling you just like go around back. Mm-hmm. When you walk out of sight and you can look in your hand, Marshall, you see set against it, which, hold on, I just lost the clue. There it is. A broken strand of these like red glass beads. Like something that would have been worn, but they're a little broken. And he gave them to you very, somewhat like emotionally. When you walk around the back, well, actually you get to narrate what happens before I tell you what's inside.
Yeah. I think as Andrew is heading around back, presumably Stretch is just staying out front. I think like for a moment, Andrew like sort of eases up on the impression, just sort of considering these glass beads, taking a look around. There's no one back here, I imagine. Ugh. And shrug his shoulders before sort of presuming the Arkansas position again and head inside.
Mm-hmm. You can hear the soft wailing as you're entering, and immediately the smell assaults you. Cooked, burning hair and flesh. There's not a thick amount of smoke in the air, but there is the haze of a fire burning inside this building relatively recently. And as you step inside the cantina, the source of the wailing is one of the dance hall girls. You know her to be Sarah, brown hair, curly, wearing a dusty pink dressing gown. A beautiful woman, but she is starting to fade with age. And she is half collapsed on her knees in front of a grisly sight in the middle of the cantina. A standing corpse that has been very badly burned, partially cooked from the inside. You can see the mouth stretched open in horror, and the burn seemed to be most severe around the mouth, the eyes, the orifices, and that the flesh surrounding them cooked in to out, essentially, and that there are still wisps of acrid smoke that waft off of their form. The parts of her that are still visible are the now blackened fragments of the heavily laced white dress. You can still make out little white flowers embroidered along the neck and shoulders. And a severe and perfect hourglass crushed inward at the middle by her wearing the corset. Given the wailing, you can assume that this is Hannah Russell, Sarah's younger sister, who is also a dance hall girl. And Lola and Diamond Dave are present here, speaking with one another in the corner. When they see you enter Arkansas, and both of their eyes go hard immediately, but they don't act on immediate hostility. They begin to cross the room towards you, and Diamond Dave opens up by saying, Arkansas?
This is just a coincidence. I was coming here to apologize for my behavior the other day. It was a little bit harsh, but I think there's more pressing matters at hand.
Harsh, like Lola says. Harsh. This death could have been avoided, Arkansas. This death is because Hannah heard you talking the other day about all sorts of different things, and she started to look around. She was already suspecting that something was amiss, and look what's happened to her. We told you to keep this under wraps!
I don't think that's how ghosts work that way.
Her lips form a thin line.
Don't you think that you probably should get Sarah on out of here? This can't be good for her.
Well, ever since your marshal arrested one of our regulars, we are limited only to the help from Stretch, and therefore he's busy making sure people on the outside don't see what's happened on the inside.
I know that you probably don't want my help, I guess, but I still will offer it. Still have hands, and I can pick up things.
You see that, like, Lola opens her mouth, but, like, Diamond Dave just sighs and, like, puts a hand on her shoulder and just says, fine. Just don't fuck this up more, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. We put our trust in you to defend our business, and so far, things aren't looking good. Mm-hmm.
Lips.
It, like, he makes that motion of like the lips are sealed, as though he wouldn't talk about it more.
You can walk over. Mm-hmm. Let's cut back to now go look at Mother Ruth, who had just spoken with Friar Hugo at breakfast and gave him a rousing consternation, but to steal his heart and do a better job. But Graves had walked off and been moving around elsewhere. What have you been doing after walking away from the friar?
I think with that, and I think with like the combined effort of like being like, I like having that conversation with Hugo and being like, let me know what you've already done and everything, and I'm going to go through that process. I want to learn about the area more. I think I want to like kind of investigate around the mission itself and everything and see if there's anything like that stands out. If there's anything that stands out, is there kind of going back to the Lady in White, is there any kind of fucked up shit happening with the land that we need to be aware of? Or is it stemming from the river, or is it coming from the mission? Kind of like nailing down a source of where this is coming from.
Absolutely. You can step out into the day looking around, and no longer is there the reconstituted ghost village. There is still the shop that stands perfect and pristine amidst the ruins. But around the mission itself, there is a barn, one of the only other structures that seems to be standing, though it doesn't fare nearly as well as the shop. Surrounding the whole area are the various vineyards and the large gray wooden structure where the grapes have been processed, all that, the remains of this. Where are you focusing your first leg of the investigation?
Let's get to the heart of it. Let's go to those where the remains are kept and everything. That seems like the most logical place to focus, and then we can work outwards from there.
The vineyards, you said?
Or the vineyards, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Very good. Yes. There are ditches from the river here and there. And some of these do like allow water flow to reach the crops. Let's paint the scene about the vineyards. What is it about these vineyards that makes them too good to be true?
I think that the plants are like pristine and fruiting out of season. Like almost, it almost seems like a trick.
Digging through the soil in the vineyard, it's not uncommon for things like bones and that kind of nature to be used as like fertilizer. It is uncommon to find whole bones in the dirt, though, which is what you find. You find like it could be animal, or is that a knuckle bone from a human, or is that like a foot, like that kind of thing of like, is it coyote, is it animal, or is it human?
I think just what's unusual is like that the vineyard itself, it should be peak season currently, but it's not really growing much of anything.
There are numerous people milling out throughout the area, of course, inhabiting the bodies of the recently deceased. Indeed, as you're walking around the fields, one such figure seems to be walking over to you. And it takes you a moment because you recognize this person. This is Neil from El Paso, walking up to you with an uncharacteristic swagger in his step, saying, "Hello there, are you lost?"
"No, not lost, just getting a sense of what is going on around these parts, taking in the vineyards."
"Ah, yes, Victor Melendez," he holds his hand out to you.
"Victor! Pardon me, my hands are soiled. Victor, Interesting. I thought we'd met before. He seems so familiar.
Ah, one of those faces, I assume. Would you like to walk the fields? I'd be happy to tell you all about the success of the river.
Yes, please tell me about the success of the river. It seems such a peaceful area and
Absolutely.
such wonderful growth.
He begins to walk through the fallow fields with you, just pointing out things and just saying, well, the crops need plenty of irrigation in this climate. Have you tried the wine the Franciscan mission makes from our grapes? Perfectly lovely. It's the land around here, what the French call the terroir. Of course, I think the river has something to do with it. I find the waters most invigorating. I like to go swimming down there at night. Hey, perhaps you should join us sometime. It's really refreshing.
Perhaps. I've always found it quite tranquilic and enjoyable to take in prayer at the sources of water. Where does the river feed from? Is it a branch off of the Colorado, or is it like a waterfall or something?
There's a spring that flows from the hills towards the river. It's part of what keeps the vineyards irrigated, and we do a little more digging to aid it along. Of course, we all do our part. You can see other people in the background hacking at the fields, digging ditches, allowing the water to flow.
Interesting. Well, this is all so wonderful, Victor. I think I'm going to go ahead and check out those springs, see what I can, if I can muster up any kind of heavenly sense of wonder within myself. It's just right, just follow the river right on up, correct?
No, hold on a moment. You don't wish to at least see how the grapes are processed first?
Oh, I don't drink, and I've never taken one to grapes. I'm more of a cherry kind of gal myself.
Oh, but we would be more than happy to provide you with wine for your communion. We do, of course, have such privileges allowed to us.
Absolutely, and I'm sure that one day I shall partake, but for now, I think that I need to keep my wits about me. I do appreciate it, though, Victor. Do you need anything? Water, some bread, some snacks out in you and your folk have been out here working so hard.
He like looks up to the sky slightly, sweat beating down his brow, and he says, "Water sounds lovely, but I'll find my way. I'll let you be on your own. Please come by. We want to make sure that you have a most comfortable stay in our fair town.
I'll do my best.
You should swing by the shop. They've got all sorts of local amenities that'll keep you comfortable."
I shall take a gander when I can, Victor.
He smiles and nods and then goes about back to the fields.
Victor Menendez, my butt, something's going on here, and I'm going to get right to the source of it and just like hike up the skirt and start like trudging towards the spring.
Indeed.
Will like stop though and like pour some water from her flask if there's like some areas. She knows there's something going on here, but it's like might as well just do the best to keep everybody happy, even if they are dead and back again. So, you know.
You drink some water from your flask?
I'm pouring some
Oh.
water. Like, if there's like jars or anything, like where they're collecting grapes, I'm gonna go ahead and pour some out and everything. You know.
Absolutely. Pour some water, happily. You hike up in the hills. Let's have you make a roll here to see what you kind of find while spending some time just moving around the area. I could see this either with reason or composure, but I mean, it's the same number for you, so I don't suppose it particularly matters. Go ahead and roll. I don't think, no, I think shit, you may definitely, with how you narrated that, shaken is definitely on your mind, so you can roll with disadvantage.
I am going
Oh, and because
to.
you gave people water, mark the
Mark.
track. Yeah, that makes sense. That's
Yay.
I don't want to miss that. Yeah. Feel free to call
Yay.
those out, by the way, because I want to make sure that
I
you're
will.
paying attention.
I try to, but also I never want to interrupt.
No, you're good.
She's going to take a swig from hopefully a decent bottle of Ghost Be Gone that maybe the good doctor has been working on.
You
Can we frame
choke,
it?
you choke and sputter a little bit, but you get it down.
Yeah, muscle it down and be like, dog shit. Clarkson making utter dog shit. And just gonna put it in the bag. And going to go ahead and cross and then make my way towards the springs as I'm walking and searching along the area.
Love it.
Okay, that's not too bad. It's a seven.
Okay,
Six plus
seven.
one.
You will have a complication. Let's take a look at the clues and see what I might do here. Interesting. There are a lot of good clues here. Take a look at your. I'll say that you marked the Ghost Be Gone. I'm going to say that honestly, you have fully drained it. I'll give you that, so you'll lose the item entirely.
Okay, cool. Sick.
That'll be the complication. But for the clue itself, hiking around for a while, it's quite a warm day, but thankfully you do have some of the water in that flask. So you spend time hiking up in the hills. This is a largely serene and indeed fertile territory. The spring is naturally flowing. There doesn't seem to be anything amiss about that on the surface. But as you're marching through the hills, you do come across a small little flat of dirt on up in these foothills, and six disturbances in the earth denote six graves. You can tell that where bodies have been buried. I mean, God's sake, woman, you basically inter them in cemeteries yourself, except for when they want to be burned. The shields are useful for that, but there are six unmarked graves up here in the hills near the font of the spring. That'll be your clue.
What should I put that as? So
Six unmarked graves
six unmarked grades. Okay, got it.
up by the font of the spring.
Got it. I think six unmarked graves. There's no way of her to kind of understand, like find out who these may be or these people may be or anything like that, but I think
Would you
she's gonna
like
take.
to dig in them?
No, I think she's gonna take a time to concentrate it. Like she's going to like she's gonna have some of that water. It's probably even like the last of her water just to make things kind of tense and everything like that. And she's going to bless over it and kind of just consecrate the ground and everything. Because knowing out here in the Wild West, somebody probably just pitched these poor souls into a hole in the ground.
Well, then in that case, go ahead and mark another box on, but not forgotten.
Okay. Hell yes.
Want to make sure that the dead have their just reward. So absolutely, you take the time to do that. And up in this series of hills and factoring the hike and these procedures, it takes a fair amount of time.
Yeah.
So I'll check in with Graves real quick. What else were you interested in possibly doing?
I think this really thoroughly distracted Graves. Like, they were planning on like looking for more evidence, I would say, of the restless dead, because he suspects that it's that maybe the monastery isn't telling them everything about them not doing things correctly. And so I think after like kind of trying to shake this off of this really interesting interaction, Graves is gonna go wander around and look to see if there's like a place where they do keep bodies or anything like that. That's sort of the looking for more dead people or where they might have kept dead people.
Even just a cursory inquiry on that front, Graves, with any of the with any of the brothers here, to tell you, well, where they kept all of their bodies, there are no longer any bodies because all of them got up
Cool, cool,
and
cool.
entered the fields.
All right. Then we're out to the
Yeah,
fields.
Friar Hugo mentions, like, yeah, his let me pull this up. Where is it? Yeah, his cousin Moro. Is it what, who was a carpenter that died on their journey to this site, got up and is now working as the vintner. Sister Magdalena, one of their nuns, is now the lawman. She drowned in the river while fetching water for the monks' first meal. The boy that the monks had taken in, who had died of dysentery, is now working as the farrier.
Well, I think Graves just listens to this and nods and goes, "All right," and just leaves. And just leaves and goes out to the field, actually, where Mother Ruth had just been. I don't think they realize how close they were on her tail because she's already gone. But to just go and go check on the dead because I think this is deeply upsetting. To death. This is so against the natural order. Like, I almost feel like I haven't done my job. Like, I feel like I've been slacking and this is some sort of punishment.
Yeah, there is this communal barn that's next to the mission that you can stop by as you're exploring the area. It is filled with broken and rusty implements that are slowly deteriorating by the long years of neglect since this town suffered its tragedy. It seems that a stiff wind should have knocked the whole thing down long ago. Let's paint the scene about the communal barn. In what ways is the original hard-working spirit of Clear Springs preserved here?
The like this barn itself, the wood in it, the lumber that makes up the foundation and like the bones of it is the original wood. There's no Ship of Theseus thing here. It is like it's strong fucking lumber from the trees that are originally in this area.
I think one of the things that remains is this like makeshift plaque that says when it was built and who it was built by, just the town of Clear Springs, like commemorating that this was maybe even the first building that they raised together.
Was that everyone? Oh, I thought I missed one. Brain. All right. Yeah, great.
I don't think Chaotic actually said anything. Do you have any
No.
thoughts?
Oh, okay. Did you want to add anything or no?
I don't have anything to add.
Okay, yeah, no, you're good. Cool. Let's see. Let me check my list of side characters real fast.
You spooky boys.
I gotta find so many more spooky boys. Yeah. You can see that there is a woman you recognize here. It's the woman from the river the previous night, Clara Carver, the older woman who has the pep in her step of someone much younger. She seems to be taking a rest. Leaning up against the barn, the sweat on her brow, dirt on her hands. And she looks over and she goes, "Oh, hey there. I recall you. I'm a little disappointed you didn't join me in the river last night. You here to tell me that I gotta work faster? I know, I'll get to it, I will. What's the matter with you? How about you stop staring and pitch in so we can bring in the harvest?"
I have no intentions of telling you to work faster. Don't worry. And my apologies for the other night. I was preoccupied. But I came here to see what you were all doing.
Well, I'm working to bring in the harvest. You know, she reaches like a finger in her hair and begins to, you know, twirl a finger in some of her locks, like a much younger woman would, and just says, it's hard work and slow, but it's got to be done. Sooner it's done, the sooner we all benefit.
And what benefit is that?
She snickers and goes, why bring in the grapes in? Got to bring in the harvest so that we can make the wine. That's kind of how we keep this town afloat. I mean, the business that the shop does is certainly helpful. Mr. Barry does a good job. And, well, the mission here is run self-sustainably. But us townsfolk got to make a living, mister. We got to ensure that we're looking after our own.
Oh, of course. And I, how long has your town been here, by the way?
Oh, Clear Springs is a recent place. Small town. Not exactly been around for very long. We got to make a name for ourselves. We've got to work hard to make sure that we can survive on the frontier, especially when we eventually receive stateship.
Oh, I'm sure. And did you help found this place?
No, I just work here. I'm not one of the original founders. Well, I mean, I came with the original wave settlers, but I didn't stake a claim or any of that.
I don't believe I caught your name.
Clara. Name's Clara Carver. What's your name?
Graves. And he actually holds out a gloved hand to shake hers.
She reaches out and takes it. Let's go ahead and roll the information move. Plus presence for anything that might have come up. And curiously, I'm going to give you disadvantage from the Hanged Man knows. For reasons that might not manifest yet, but will depend on the complication if you get one.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's not going to be good, my friend. It's not going to be awesome, I can tell you that much. Ha! It's a four!
It's four.
As a four.
When she reaches to shake your hand, she takes it, and the smile on her face goes stiff and rigid as her cold fingers wrap around the leather of your glove and the various wrinkles and creases on her aged, weathered face begin to set in deeper. There's a twitch. A fly lands on her eyeball for a moment before buzzing off into the distance. And her grip, rigid, like... Why am I forgetting the term for when a body locks up in
death? Rigamortis.
Rigamortis, thank you. Locked up like that. She just says, oh God, sweet God in heaven. The voice that comes out is notably, for a moment, different than Clara's voice. A much older voice, befitting the body that it comes out of. And just says, you left us. You left us. And the grip tightens slightly. And I'm going to give you the condition, you left the dead alone.
Oh my God.
As she begins to stare at you with these cold, dead eyes. I'm going to need it to be the day move. What are you afraid of happening here as this walking corpse begins to suddenly have a shift in personality and begin to ramble about them being left, you leaving them, the dead have been abandoned?
I think I'm afraid that's going to happen to everyone all at once here.
That's pretty bad. That's I'm going to have you roll with sensitivity in that case, with disadvantage though.
Oh gosh, okay. Okay, hold on. Five. That's a seven.
Okay, it's a seven. We'll come back to that. For now, let's take a 5-minute break. All right, so back in El Paso, Andrew, what was your approach going to be with the wailing, very clearly distressed Elder Russell sister?
Well, for starters, the body is standing upright, so, like, I'm just gonna lay the body down, because, like, that's, like, respectful. Perhaps just get a sheet, cover it for now. Just, like, say, hey, I'll take you to your room and whatnot. And of course, in Arkansas's voice of just, like, sort of, like, just trying to, like, get things calmed down. Probably get, like a glass of water and whatnot. Just trying to, like, make sure, like, things are settling down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The apartments are up above the dance hall, so you walk her across to the next building over to get her to her room. There are about a dozen of these rooms that are connected by this U-shaped hallway. The more spacious ones, like, look out over San Francisco Street, and the smaller ones are completely windowless. Her room, along with several others, has a comfortable bed, silk sheets, an armoire, plush rugs. Let's paint the scene. Looking around, how do you know this is a real step up in life for most of these women?
I think for Andrew, as, like, he can tell, like, this is a real step up for most women, is that the brothel that Arkansas was staying at looks kind of shabby compared to this. Like there is, like, nice wallpaper on the walls. Like, even in the, like, the rooms that don't have windows, like, there is plenty of light sources and whatnot. Nothing at risk of catching on fire or anything of that nature. It's just very clean and bright.
You can see there's a photo, or a sketchbook that's open, showing various sketches of different girls, different rough looking men, and, like, a circus tent and some train cars, suggesting that maybe one of these girls probably turned tricks with a circus, a carnival that toured the Midwest.
I think that we see some, like less than nice looking trinkets, like, clearly keepsakes, like a little wooden hand-carved box amongst the finery that is older than the rest of the things. And it's clearly, like, a keepsake from a former life this girl had.
You lead Sarah into this room. What do you do?
Out. Listen here, I know things are really tough right now, but I can handle a lot of the technicalities of all this, but right now it's just need to stay right here, have this glass of water, and just be okay for a few moments. I'll be back.
The makeup on her face is in ruins. She had ceased her wailing on the walk up here and now just kind of walks in this, or rather rocks back and forth slightly in this hollow, almost numb agony. But her voice kind of, like, catches in her throat in an uncomfortable way when you say, you know, everything will be okay. And she just, like, oh, okay. How could it possibly be okay? My baby sister, what happened to her? She chokes slightly and, like, has to, like, bury her face in her hands and begins to just mutter and whimper.
I think Andrew, as Arkansas, sits down next to her. Starts to pat her on the back very awkwardly, because that's how Andrew thinks, like, Arkansas would offer emotional comfort in these times. Yeah. I get you. I've lost people as well. But See, the thing here. Oh, God, you would say that.
I get you. I can hear it. The qualsisms.
I get you.
I get you.
Same thing here with a wounded knight. It's a weird time. Sometimes it's a little bit dangerous, but sometimes it has good things as well. Sometimes we get to say goodbye before anywhere else.
I'm going to have this be the day move. Even though I wouldn't necessarily say this is risky in some ways, there is still an element of risk present in the scene. What are you afraid of happening here?
God, this is just a dumb thing that Arkansas would say, but and like he would just upset her further because like he's just talking about ghosts
mm-hmm.
now
mm-hmm.
and he really doesn't need to be doing that.
Absolutely. You can roll plus presence.
That's a 9.
Okay, a 9.
Real low.
Here's how you're gonna be vulnerable. Unbeknownst to you at this moment, Lola Navas is in an adjoining apartment and she steps up to the wall and behind a painting, there's a little mm-hmm. slot that she can like, a little peephole slot that she's spying on you in this window. And she sees you and hears what you're saying to this girl about the wounded knight, about ghosts, and her brow narrows. And Lola is getting, I'm gonna tell you what's happening right now. Basically, Lola's getting more and more certain that Arkansas's tactics and approach to this investigation are an utter liability, and is going to begin plotting to deal with him.
I can't have that while Daniel's not here. I'm going to put on a mask. Okay. Does the Corsair have a mask?
Yes, the Mask of Beauty.
Yes, we'll put on a Mask of Beauty.
Each hunter narrates a flashback to a time when they felt truly beautiful. Have fun with that one, B. I can't wait to hear it. I have heard a story from Jason about a past inevitable. I'm not going to say it here. It's not because I don't want to. I'll mention it to you another time when you have already done this one because I don't want to influence you. But it's a good one. It's a really fun story of how Inevitable did this one. Anyone want to narrate that now, or do they want to wait?
I'll wait till dusk.
Okay, you'll wait till dusk, which is imminently approaching. In that case, narrate what happens.
I think Arkansas goes on. My friend, Blackheart Vermilion, I lost her years ago, but then this past wounded night, she came back. And well, there was some sorts of complications with that Howard Jim McKinley fellow, but we got him, and she was pretty pleased about that. But still, she's still haunts around the place just until the end of the season. It's comforting, and I think perhaps. Maybe this season, perhaps the next season. See your sister.
She weakly slumps to lean like against you, and she just wraps her arms around you as she buries her face into you, and just the makeup is just smearing your clothes, or rather, Arkansas's Arkansas. Clothes. Tear stains. She when her face comes back out later, there's just dirt on it, like from the clothes as well. But you spend, you know, kind of like laying some comforting words, to steady her, and you can excuse yourself to go carry about the next step of things. In Clear Springs, graves with your seven. The old woman before you, the corpse, the glassy eyes that regard you with an empty, endless, confused anguish. There is a pulse, like a ripple through water, that emerges from your being, a steadying presence of death as you have always existed. And there is a stillness that follows as the corpse breathes, and the personality of this younger woman seems to reassert itself and just goes, "Oh, forgive me, I was miles away. Here's your complication." At this moment, you've calmed the flow of what just happened, but the town now knows death is here. And come this night, things will happen. So that's what's going to leave you kind of vulnerable here.
I love this. I know. I'm not putting on a mask.
I know.
You know this.
Splendid. In that case, she looks towards the hot sun overhead and says, "Goodness, well, I best be getting to work. I did mean what I said, though, mister. You should come by the river after dark. It is so pleasant, and the swim feels divine."
I imagine I will.
And she sees herself off as Ruth comes back down from the hills. Let's move into the dusk phase. So, let's paint the scene about the Wounded Knight. Talk about some aspect of things. Let's talk about the agriculture of El Paso. The season of the Wounded Knight coincides with the harvest when crops are being taken in. A portion of the crops is always negatively affected by the thinning of the veil between worlds. How so?
Everything's just more dry. Crispy.
I think one in every six, like, harvest, like actual crop harvested is rotten from the inside.
When folks start trenching and like tilling new earth and soil for growth, sometimes little blood will come out from the ground like oil. It's even happened the first time it happened. Somebody thought they struck oil and realized that it was actually just blood from the ground.
Love that. Do we want to answer any of our questions? We have 8 clues on the corset and 3 clues on the grieving town of Clear Springs.
Do y'all want to answer a question for the corset?
Potentially. I would need some... I have some questions of Alex, but those can be answered off the mic.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. I know how to tie a lot of the clues, but not all of them.
Which answer are you all thinking about pursuing?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
We can go for that +2, that good old-fashioned +2, if we just get rid of the corset. But if, Marshall, if you want that corset, we can do it.
I do want that corset.
You want that corset?
I thought you might want the corset.
I thought you might want that corset.
So we can answer the question of how can the corset be controlled. We'll get to that in a moment. First, I'm going to go ahead and break order just to establish prompts on the unseen, because I'll let y'all have a break to deliberate clue ideas and answer some of Chaotic's questions. And then we can pick up with that. And already you guys can have some thoughts about your unseens. Our unseen tonight is going to be the last rite. I'm going to assign the first prompt to chaotic. Prompt number two to B. Third to Wes. And the final prompt, I will make a paint this you can just give to everyone. Let's take a break to deliberate on these questions. And when we come back, I'll want to hear these theories.
Okay.
All right. I came in there in the middle of theorizing, so I decided that we're just going to cut right to it. What okay. question are we answering on the corset?
How can the corset be controlled, which is a complexity 8? So, we think that maybe, due to Red Rock being named for a rock that was used for sacrifices, ritual sacrifices, what if the spirit inhabiting the corset is not the spirit of a person, but it's the spirit of a wild animal that was sacrificed at Red Rock? Lola Navas is a harsh employer. She would beat her girls, much like how abused animals will lash back at their owners. That's what happened. It was like, just like, what if these were like coyotes or wolves that were kept for sacrifices specifically? So that's why there were 5 skulls found in the basement. It was just these animals that were kept for ritual sacrifice, and they were abused and everything. And so the spirits live on in the corset. So even if somebody exercises the corset, the spirit, there's going to be another animal that takes its place within the corset. Almost like it's just a feeding ground for this thing. Almost. The corset bleeds, so it's much like an animal that's been abused or things of that nature. It's the corset itself is bleeding. It's got some kind of animalistic, like holdover from its previous life that is being carried over, much like that. So thinking into that, not keeping, like, not being abusive to it, not being like, not trying to beat it into shape, but trying to be gentle with it, calm it down, but having a precaution. So a broken strand of glass beads, many animals do not have like mirrored permanence. They do not understand that when they look into a mirror or a piece of glass that they are seeing themselves. They think they're seeing a different animal. So what if that's a way to keep it under control by fashioning on the corset an additional part that makes a collar with glass beads on it, or like mirrored beads on it, as a way to keep it under control? Which might be a stretch, but I think it is, you know, well, we've done some weird stuff here.
I mean, I just want to know why Stretch had them.
Why did Stretch have them?
Because he gave them to you.
I think it was just because, like, when he was out back and saw like the victim like walking around after they died, he just found it on the ground. Like,
maybe it was one of the victims.
Because like it. Okay. Because it presumably it. Like the person who died was the dance girl, so like one of the beads was just sewn into like her outfit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So it's something familiar as well. One of the victims is seen walking around after they died. It's trying to find a body. It's an animal trying to find a body. Animals don't wear corsets. So when it kills something, it tries to take over their spirit. The spirit tries to take over their body, and then it's like unwieldy. It doesn't know how to walk bipedally, things of that nature, and everything. And so it eventually just abandons it and goes back to the corset.
How does this account for the brutal murders that it does? Because I mean,
Don't worry.
Mr. Stanton was engaged in an affair with someone close to his employee, just like Lola Navas and everything. The corset itself witnessed him be abusive to the person that was like he was having an affair with. And so sense memory triggered the animal lost it and mauled the guy to death, flayed him with the whale bones and everything like that. and like as an effort of like not even to protect her, but to like just being like instinct. There's somebody that is a harm to me. There is another predator here. I have to fight back. That kind of thing.
But
All
it's like
of
a cornered animal.
the, yeah, a cornered animal. So one of those things of like you have to approach it gently. You have to treat it like a cornered animal. You have to approach it, especially not making eye contact to that, and doubly so, not having green eyes. Because all the victims have green eyes. Green eyes is something that these spirits remember because the person that was commissioning like the ritual sacrifice, the shaman or the priest or whoever, the ne'er-do-well that was doing these things, had green eyes. And so it's like it sees these green eyes and it's just like fuck, fuck, fuck. Like I can't happen again. It can't happen again, that kind of thing. And so it just gets into gut animal instinct.
Okay. So another question I have, how does this account for Lady Antonia's mention that she's been tracking the movements of the corset for some time?
Animals migrate.
Okay. That worked. That works. Yeah.
Yeah. And like animals move around, they try to find different food and water sources.
Yeah. To like give it an example, like cats actually have like a very long range of like 25 like square miles of like where they're like where they go to sleep like every day.
Okay. So these other murders, like the freezing of blood in someone's veins, burning someone from the inside, these are all very brutal, but it sounds like what we're saying is that these are all almost incidental to what, like it's not necessarily intentionally doing those things exactly. Like it's causing harm and lashing out, but it's not specifically like I'm going to burn this person from the inside. I'm going to make this person vomit their own guts out by squeezing too hard. It's just like it's the supernatural backlash of all these things that are happening. It just affect this. Okay, I see. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, whoever wants to make a roll can certainly do that. It'll be flat if you're going for the eight.
Got it.
I think it should be Wes or Chaotic because Wes had the whole theory kind of locked down and chaotic once the course hit.
Yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure. I can go. Do you want to roll it, Chaotic? How are you feeling? You feeling lucky?
I'm feeling lucky, but like, do you want to split it?
We can
One
split
die
it.
each.
One die each.
One die each. B. Orange or black?
Black.
Five.
Okay.
It's a flat 10. Theory is correct. We can pursue it. With that in mind, what do our hunters intend to do during this upcoming night phase? Starting with Marshall Harrington. I think I have an idea, but would just like to hear you vocalize it.
I'm definitely going to be the one getting the corset because it once again, like, I don't have the problem of having green eyes. Like, I just could just not make them green. So, and as general, I don't want Lady Antonia getting her hands on that thing.
Oh, interesting. Well, she'll be coming tonight anyway.
I know.
She'll be around. Mother Ruth and Graves, what is your plan in Clear Springs?
Mother Ruth, what is your plan?
I was thinking maybe we could have dinner with the friars and everything like that. Mother Ruth could cook and have dinner with the friars, and we can just keep our eye on the town and everything like that at night. See what goes afoot. Essentially just like a time to like come back and update each other on what we found and then put our heads together and just take a look. Maybe even like just like essentially, what I'm trying to do is engage with a vulnerable move. We can play a game of chess over dinner and
Hell
everything like
yeah.
that. And then stroll probably down to the river if we want to go, not down to the river, but look at the town at night and
Like maybe
everything
like
like
towards
that.
the general store where all those
Yes.
people are gathering. I love that.
Now, I'll let
Yeah.
you keep one thing in mind. The saying vulnerable move and the night phase is like a signal flare to my brain to do everything in my power to prevent that from happening and have it get interrupted. So just letting y'all know.
I like playing hard mode.
I like it. I haven't gone hard enough in a while. So thank you for opening the floodgates of that. Yeah, good. I will. Absolutely. It's going to be real bad, especially with B's complication in mind. Splendid. Then in that case, would anyone like to narrate any of their masks before we jump to the Stars and Wishes?
Only if everyone else wants to. I think this is like, since it's a group mask.
I've got my mask of beauty prompt ready to go.
Same here.
Mm-hmm. All right. You want me to go ahead and go? The last time Mother Ruth Calvo truly felt beautiful. This was about maybe a month ago, before the Wounded Knight continued and everything like that. There was a moment early morning where Mother Ruth, who is up there in age, early 60s, and she's been having these late night rendezvous with not just Graves, but other parishioners. And one such confessional that occurred after the marshal leaves, the old marshal. Mother Ruth is sitting in her room, naked. Sweat is still glistening off of her bosom and everything. She sits and she's just taking in the sounds of the early morning as the sun's rising. She can feel warmth start to gather on her body as the sun rises, breaking its way through the glass, its rays cresting upon her. And she catches a glance of herself in the mirror. And just like how she's positioned and like just how she's like relaxed and calm and just like there's nobody just like yelling at her or like asking her for forgiveness or asking her for help or advice or anything. It's just this moment of quiet. And she doesn't see herself now, but she sees the old Ruth back in 30 years ago. And she smiles. And it lasts for about 15 seconds as the sun comes up. And then it's just erupted, just interrupted by the sheer cry of a toddler in one of the rooms over. And she sighs and gets ready for the day ahead.
Chaotic, would you like to go or would you like me to go next?
I can go. Andrew has felt beautiful many times in his life. But I think the most interesting part was the time that he got caught sneaking out of the old marshal's house. He tries to recall the name of that woman. He knows her last name. I don't think he really learned her first name. Mrs. Livingston. It was near dawn, and she had been, she fell asleep knitting by the fire, and it was just easy to sneak in and sneak out. Everything was fine, but she woke up and saw Andrew sort of literally shimming his way through a window and whatnot, and she looks agog. She doesn't scream, she doesn't do anything. But then a moment passes, another. I suppose it could have been worse. At least you're not terrible to look at. I think at that, Andrew just sort of beams with pride, very inappropriately at this, and then he just sort of books it, just laughing to himself that at the end of the day, he's got something on the wife of the old marshal.
Scoundrel. I am in an ancient forest somewhere, lush and beautiful, and there is the body of a canine laying on the forest floor. I've already shepherded its spirit off to whatever comes next. And I'm just watching the body, still and perfect. And I watch for a long, long time as it bloats and decays, and other living things come and feast on it. They make a home on it. And they return it back to the earth. And in this long, long waiting period, as I watch, I understand what feeling beautiful is like.
Let's go to Stars and Wishes.
Damn those masks.
Yeah, stars for all those masks. Fucking yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Shit. I want to give a star for war. I don't know. You know, Billy the Kid fucking name drop, Alex. Immediately I was like, is war inhabiting the body of Pat Garrett? Is that what's happened? And then I imagine like James Coburn from Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. In the old 70s, like Sam Peckinpah movie. That's why I dropped war question mark. That's James Coburn. I'm just like, what the that as a kid that read all of those leather bound Wild West books about different outlaws and stuff like that, like Pat Garrett is such an interesting figure in history because like people are like, yeah, the outlaw marshal, Pat Garrett, he'll do anything to catch his man and bring him in and everything like that. And like Pat Garrett was like a conniving, sneaky fucking like rat of a person that would get bounties however he could and bring him in and everything like that. And so it's just like war taking the presence of Pat Garrett, it's just like it's so slutty. So I really dig that. So like stars for that. Like go watch the Sam Peckinpah movie, Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, because it's just, I think Bob Dylan plays Billy the Kid, I can't remember, in that movie, but like James Coburn's in it and he's like, he slinks like a panther, like the entire movie, and just like he just like chews on cigars and everything, but like he's not like the, all right, Billy, I'm gonna take you in and everything. He's like okay, kid. Like he just like kind of carries it, like very sultry, and so I really felt that. Chaotic. You're fucking, I'm gonna steal stars from other people, but it has to be said, the fucking qualisms and like in your Arkansas McGee performance, like I could just like, I was like looking around and doing like some work stuff off to the side, and I would hear that and I'd be like, Daniel? And no, it's just chaotic doing Daniel. But it was like, it was so entertaining. And like, I do appreciate your approach to portray. You're like, because you're like, yeah, I'm going to portray Arkansas McGee, but you're doing it in a respectful way that doesn't completely fuck over Daniel while he's gone. Which reminds me of Harmontown and like the Harmontown, like D&D portions of the podcast, where like sometimes a character would be one of the members would be missing, and so a guest would play that person's character, and Duncan Trussell was playing Kumail's character, Krista Berg, and he's like, okay, the first thing I do is I take a dagger, I've got a dagger, right, Okay, yeah. I take a dagger and I carve in my arm. How can you call yourself a video game streamer if you don't play StarCraft 2? Question mark. And he's like, that's permanent, right? That lasts. And then they're like, yeah, that lasts. And he's like, okay, moving on. It's like, you're not doing stuff like that, portraying Arkansas McGee. You're not making messes, but you are being true to the character, but also true to how Harrington would react. So that's actually like, I really appreciate that. That's very cool. Wishes. Give me, wow. I need a hot springs scene. We need a
We're
bath
still on this
house.
one. We're still on the Swedish
Yeah, the
bathhouses.
sweet. I can't stop thinking. I've been thinking about sauna and like just being in like Sweden or Finland and just being like just sweating with like hot
You just
rocks.
want me to play Ahti.
Hey, look.
Ahti.
Don't ask questions about my bootlegger concept that I have in the back if you don't want to, or charlatan. It works for either one. I've got a bootlegger or charlatan locked and ready to fucking go, baby, if as soon as Mother Ruth kicks the bucket.
The more cooks, the worse the soup.
The soup. Yeah, so good. So yeah, but yeah, that's it. That's it. Which I'm sure it'll happen, but in the most fucked up way possible, which is what, we're due for. So there you go. That's me.
Oh my God, y'all, I love this. Yeah, I West did steal some of mine. Because Stars for War, I've been excited about this since you cut the scene off at I think it was last week. Yeah. I've been like frothing at the mouth. Because what a cool way to like make the Black Confessional interesting. Like that was not what I expected at all. And I'm very, I love that was super fun. That was super fun. And Alex, stars to all of the upsetting ghost stuff. I have to say, you're doing a very good job of making it like subtly upsetting, like having Neil show up and then not introduce himself as Neil is like so driving the point home in a way that really, really
We'll
works.
once more credit the module for having these characters prompted with by being like, pick a recently deceased side character. This person appears as them.
Like, that's so fun, though. You're doing a really good job of communicating it, and it's just really delicious. It's really delicious. And I'm
I
very
got a
excited.
bit fucked up. Bit fucked up, kind of.
It's a bit fucked up. It's a bit upsetting. It's, I'm very excited to see what you do with this night phase, because it sounds like it's going to be spicy.
Yeah, absolute stars to Chaotix qualisms. I get you. I was
Oh my God.
the most thing.
Yes.
Listen, we always have to, this is a universal thing. There's a posture one needs to adapt in order to do a proper like impression or channeling someone. And you like raising up your shoulders, getting your hands up here. Like the truly, if you had lowered your webcam to be like below your chin and looked down at us while you were doing that would have been full on Daniel. That was very, that got me. I was not expecting it, but it was solid. I had a great time with that. I like that we got a couple of charitable moments from Mother Ruth with the water and the sanctifying the graves. We've had a lot of sassy reprimanding Mother Ruth lately and getting to see more of those like sides of her actually like taking care of like restless spirits and drowned and stuff like that, especially in the wake of that last war mask you did
Oh my God,
was
yes.
harrowing. And so still echoing the her sense that like there is no God that we saw like in that mask, but her still going through the motions of faith and doing the scene. It contrasts in an interesting way. So I'm really liking what's going on with Mother Ruth's storyline there. Also just cool to see Chaotix move and play. I just want to make sure that we explore some more of the fiction of what's going on there, because that's very tasty about this ability the Marshal's been holding on to. Might also come in handy in more ways than one in some immediate affairs. I'm glad people enjoyed war. I have things planned for war. Well, loose plans. I don't have many things exerted. I will say, I mentioned something that I don't think anyone caught. So War said something that was a huge reference to another thing. So if you didn't catch it, you might want to go back and watch the conversation.
I think I caught it, but I'm not going to say because I could be super wrong.
What do you think?
I'm not going to say it. No.
Okay.
Uh-uh.
You can tell me off camera.
I'll tell you off camera.
Yeah. I said a few things, but there was like a couple of there was one thing in particular I said that I don't think anyone caught. And I wouldn't call it a vague reference. It was a direct name drop of something, but it's a niche to say the least. Anyway, that was fun. I really like I do like though that Wes, you caught my Billy the Kid thing. That I have more in mind with that.
If there's one thing I know about you, Dolgy cunt, it's Billy the Kid. I don't know why I'm Australian for that. I saw an Australian person earlier today, and it's just in my brain. But yeah, awesome. No, like legitimately, like fucking 8-year-old Wes with a big old fucking book and being like, I want to be just like him when I grow up. Not a good role model.
What do you mean? That's the best role model. Come on. I want to
be just like Billy the Kid. Watching Young Guns with Emilio Estevez.
Oh,
and fucking,
Young Guns
yeah.
is so good.
In a blaze of glory. Yeah. All that stuff.
But yeah, no, that was really fun. I'm excited to see get Daniel in here before we have to take a couple weeks off just because of travel and other things. But yeah, and just wishes. I need to really just go hard. I need to really do some like big swings, reactions.
What? Yes, yes, yes. A look at the side characters that we like.
Oh yes, that's what I'm thinking. I have a culling to enact.
Oh yeah. Man.
Yeah. Man, just to start off with a wish, I was so focused on the causisms that some of the other scenes went over my head. So like I'm going to watch this episode back again to like listen to all like your conversations. Just General Star for like the masks, like of just like reincorporating things said earlier in the session, raves with just the thematic like echoes to the answering the question. Mother Roof were saying, oh no, this is like, this was about the old Marshall, like we were like having this thing with, and I'm just like, man, that tracks. He's having the thing with me too. And who has Mother Ruth not been with? Probably Arkansas, and that's about it. Wes is muted.
I know, it was foul. And inappropriate.
You say that like we have not had some really wild.
We had a hand job in episode one. Wes.
I was going to say, I was like, dude, we're far past that.
I thought you wanted people to watch, you know. So
yeah, that's exactly why they're here for the spice. Yeah. But yeah. Oh my gosh! And before go ahead, Chaotic.
Yeah, and I can't wait till Daniel comes back and realizes what I've done.
I can't wait till Daniel watches the video and talks about it.
And watches you do an impression of him.
Yeah. I think the mask was the only time Andrew was himself the entire session.
Peace and love, you dig?
It's so good. Oh my god. Like I also need to give stars to Wes and Chaotic because I just got to do stars for Alex, and oh my god, you two, absolutely delicious, delicious, delicious this sesh. Just I love it. I adore both of you always. Chaotic, I really love the chameleon thing you do. I know I'm echoing everyone, the qualisms, like I had to be muted because I was losing my shit. Like because it really did feel like Andrew Harrington trying to be Arkansas, like having to pause and be like, how would Arkansas hold himself? Like, is this a thing he would say? Oh shit. But like still really committing to the bit. That was really, really funny. That was absolutely what a wild way to problem solve this whole thing. That's, I wouldn't have thought of that. That's really, really good. Mm-hmm. Wes, I loved getting to see Mother Ruth interact with these undead. Like, I really th it was a really interesting way where she was like keeping her distance, but still like coming off kind and doing these kind acts, like not in front of anybody really. Like, yes, this person is dead. It's like in their te but they're technically a person, but none of us are watching. Like, you consecrate the graves when no one is around. Like, that's like really indicative of her character. And I think that's really fascinating. Like, it really, like Alex said, it contrasts really interestingly with the mask about the war, but also I think it contrasts interestingly with you telling off like one of the monks, like the friar, I think it was. Like, this is, it's kind of like you're not just talking shit, like you actually do the thing. And I think that's a really cool part of her character. So I'm really interested to see how this whole thing goes. I'm chomping at the bit about Mother Ruth's part of the story about Clear Springs because of Tomas and that whole thing. And I'm just like, it's going to be so tragic. And I'm so excited to see how that goes.
Yeah,
So
that's
that's
coming
another
next
wish.
episode, just so you know.
I figured. God
Mm-hmm.
damn it.
So excited.
God damn it. Here we go.
Any other? Oh, right, yeah.
Another wish for Andrew to interact with other committees while his move is going on, because boy, that would be a wild time.
Please, please come talk to us as
Yeah,
Arkansas or whoever the fuck.
because honestly, I have a little bit of an inkling about Andrew acting as Graves, but pre-death Graves.
Do it. You have what do you think he would do?
I don't know how I would use it, so it may not come up, but I need to figure out a way.
All right. Well, on that note, unless there are any other stars or wishes, we will. Yes, Binar, you
I
made
was
a
like, I was trying
face.
to think. I was like,
Oh,
trying to
okay.
think. I was trying to think. No, we covered
Okay.
everything.
Clear. Gotcha. And in that case, wave goodbye.